Welcome back. We're moving from the world of copywriting to the world of CSR. Gráinne Madden from GMJ Associates, thank you for joining me in studio.
Thank you, Alan.
Now, I want to ask you the obvious question. CSR, corporate social responsibility, it used to be companies doing good deeds for other people out there who would appreciate it. And now it's become the devil and all. It's internal, it's external. How on earth do you define CSR?
In fact, it's a term I even don't like, because I find that in Ireland, if you use the term CSR, everyone just thinks charity. And actually, I don't. I think CSR is about running a company well and considering all your different stakeholders and considering your impact on society. No company is working on their own. They're part of a society, and therefore they should be acting as a good citizen. So I think it's one of those things that's difficult to define. There's many, many different definitions. One of the ones I like best, and I've never actually been able to find the source, is that it's how you make your money, not how you spend your money. In other words, it is your whole business. It's not the spending the little bit of the profit on the charity at the end of it and making your money any way you possibly can.
Holy God, Miley, that's deep. It's how you make your money, not how you spend it. Okay, give me an idea though, because I know people associated with charity, but it is about taking some of the profits that a company makes and investing it in what would otherwise be known as good deeds that could be good for the environment, it could be good for your employees.
Well, I would see corporate responsibility actually as about how you're running your company first and foremost, and how you're actually making your money.
It's the ethical stand that your company takes, and it's the ethos of your business.
Yeah, it's how you treat your employees. It's, do you give them adequate training? Do you pay your suppliers on time? Are your customers getting great products and good service, and all of those basic things? Are you treating the environment properly? I think that's the whole, I suppose, basis of corporate responsibility. Now, if we're going to look at what I would describe maybe as strategic social benefit projects, which maybe are the traditional idea of the charitable CSR, the kind of the good behaviour, I think that there's certainly room there for companies to invest strategically with some of their profits in really well aligned social projects that will benefit not only society but also benefit the business itself. And that's maybe an area where companies have traditionally not been fantastic at doing that. They've been very good, and actually Irish companies have been great about giving to charity, there's no doubt about that, but a lot of the time it's a cheque given quietly to the Vincent de Paul, or a cheque given to a pet charity of the CEO, which is fine.
You can feel that changing in the last few years. Yeah. That it used to be give them a cheque or form a committee, and the committee decides where this pot of money goes to or how it's divided up. It's interesting that the sort of charitable end of it is something that you see almost as an add-on after the company has investigated all of the strands that it actually behaves in, and has found that it behaves ethically, it behaves well, it treats people well.
Well, there's no point on giving a nice big fat check to charity and thinking everything's wonderful if your employees are looking on cynically going, oh yeah, they're giving the cheque to the Cancer Society, they're giving the cheque to the children's home, but they actually haven't given me the right training, or they're not giving me the right tools to the job.
And actually, it's a fair point too, if you flip it on its head the other way, from a customer's point of view. Customers, I know that in an economic downturn, customers end up buying whatever is economically viable, so they spend a minimum amount of money. But once you're actually in a reasonably stable economic environment, customers will look at products, and particularly if they're similarly priced, and say, well, actually, this company does have a good attitude towards the environment, or does treat its employees well, and I don't know where these come from, or I'm not sure what their employee policy is.
We're beginning to see some of that, certainly, and there are certain, some apps you can get and everything that will help you diagnose, if you like, whether you should be buying a particular product in the supermarket or not. I'm not sure that we're anywhere close to that kind of scale, that consumers are really making a difference. I think we've got maybe a small lobby of consumers who will actually make an active choice towards buying the more ethical product. I think
but
we're a
long
way.
Vocal beyond the percentage that they actually represent.
I mean, typically, any kind of research that you do with consumers on whether they'd pay more for an ethical product or whether they prefer to buy an ethical product, they'll all give you the right answer, because people want to be, they socially select to give you the right answer. There's a well-known researcher who talks about survey radicals turning into conservative consumers at the checkout. In other words, they say that they're going to buy the fair trade product or whatever, but they don't. They buy the cheapest one at the checkout.
It's also down to the whole method of surveying and the fact that people don't want to break your heart. And if they know you want them to behave ethically, they'll tell you that they do. Part of the CSR drive is being driven by the EU, or is it there is a new sort of non-financial reporting?
Yeah, well, this goes back to, I suppose,
down the tracks.
To what I'm saying about it really being about how you run your business. It's about mainstream business, that it's not about the add-on charity stuff that you do at the end of it. There's plenty of good charity stuff that actually is strategically linked with the company. If it's done well, it's brilliant for the company too. But the sort of the running a good business piece, yeah, it's becoming much more mainstream. We're seeing, for example, a move into much more mainstream environmental social governance investing, for example. Investors are seeing that there actually is a payback to be made from reduced risk, because companies are seen to be managing their risk more effectively, be that in human rights or in environmental or whatever it might be.
Okay.
So, yeah, the EU, the Non-Financial Reporting Directive, which we'll see the first of those reports coming out now next year, for the 2017 year is when they have to be implemented. So companies over a certain size, it's over 500 employees and over a certain revenue figure. So it's big companies, and we don't have vast numbers of those big companies here in Ireland. But big companies are now going to be forced to report on things like how they're managing environmental risk, their social employee aspects, things like human rights issues, things like corruption and bribery, even diversity of their board of directors. So in essence, what we're seeing is what people have, I suppose, in my particular area of interest have been speaking about for many years, which is, you know, accounts don't tell the whole story. We need to tell a better story for business. It needs to be more transparent. Business, investors, everyone deserves to know more. And you can only know more if you're describing those elements as well, if you're telling the whole story of your business.
It's interesting to see that that's now getting onto the balance sheet, if you like. Yes. Two areas that you mentioned there, human rights. I'm conscious, wearing my other hat as the Irish Academy, that when we deal with larger companies now, more and more we're being asked, have we signed up to human rights charters, which are not necessarily relevant to small companies at all. But it's obviously a sign that the larger companies are trying to make sure that not only are they behaving ethically, but that the subcontractors that they use
Absolutely.
Are behaving ethically yeah. as well. And yeah. that's an important part of it, I suppose, that if they're giving business to others, the others that they give business to must also be ethical.
So they have
must
to
be CSR
do
aware.
Either checks on those businesses, or what I've actually seen a bit of a trend of in the last couple of years, I've noticed that companies who are suppliers to large multinationals are now being put under a lot more pressure to do sustainability or CSR type reporting, which is reporting on things like how they're running their business. So if you like, it's the company who's the supplier is being forced to take on the job of proving their responsibility towards their big customer.
It's interesting that the company which has 500 plus employees is now putting pressure on the company which has 50 employees to show that it in its own way behaves ethically.
Yes.
It's a good thing to see, because it actually moves down the chain. The other area I want to talk to you about was diversity on the board. We've seen this in politics, where there's a huge to-do about getting, is it 40% of women Fine Gael have offered to get, and we should all be so grateful. What's the guidance on diversity on the board? Is it 50-50? Is it, where does it come from?
I should actually mention,
before you even answer that question, the Dublin City FM has 50% men, 50% women on our board of directors.
Very good. Okay. Well, we've seen, there's the 30% club. We've seen, you know, there's a drive towards that kind of figure generally internationally. We've seen Norway with, I think it was 40% for Norway for boards. The reality is that I think you have to actually start imposing quotas. And I know there's a lot of debate about this. And when I speak to the students that I lecture and I put this forward, inevitably I'll get a backlash from the women, you know, in the group. But I actually saw a podcast from a Trinity Business Conference there recently, and I can't remember the name of the lady who was speaking, but she said, if we go on as we are, we're only going to achieve parity by 2050. So we've got to actually do a bit more to kick that.
It's very interesting, because I would have changed my position completely on this. When I was a younger woman, I would have believed that there was absolutely no need for quotas at all. And now I don't understand why it just doesn't go to a straight 50%. And just let's sort it out. Let's let the men fight about the 50% that are available to men. The women fight about the 50% that are available to women. And I think actually what you'll get is a much stronger, I think after a while people won't notice. But I think if you're waiting for it to happen naturally, it will take forever. What's the advice from the EU? What are the EU looking for in terms of diversity on the board?
They're
looking for male, female mix.
I don't think they're necessarily looking for any particular figures, but what they're looking for is that the companies actually talk about and report on it. So in other words, if you're, look, it's the old thing about, isn't it? Isn't Peter Drucker said that you manage what you measure? And that's the whole idea, is that if you're asking companies to actually report on these items, they have to engage in some kind of metrics and measurement on these items. And therefore, that puts attention on them.
And if CSR is all about how a company runs its business, has it moved away from, I always thought with these charitable endeavours or with the extra money that they gave to something, it was about making a lasting impression on society by something small that you did. It could be that you cleaned the local river, but it was something that people associated with you. It was good that you gave back. Has it moved away from that completely?
Yeah, you see, you hear this phrase, the giving back phrase all the time, and it's a phrase I have to say I dislike, because it implies that, again, it's sort of this sort of benefactor and, you know, you're casting alms and, you know, it's and I think it takes away from the fact that, business is business. It's not a charity. Business is business. And frankly, if I'm a shareholder in a business and they're giving away my money to charity, well, just give me more dividend. I'll decide what I want to do with the extra money. Thanks. I don't see why the managers have the right to do that. If the managers can show me as a shareholder that they're engaging in a really strategically well-aligned social project that is going to give benefit to society and give benefit to the business, that makes sense to me. So if there's a business that is saying, actually, you know what, we need to encourage a particular type of graduate, we need to have infrastructure that's better, we need to have a cleaner river, that's fine. If it's going to make the business better as well as make society better, then it's a good project. And we need to look at really well aligned projects that benefit both.
Actually, I love that as a definition of CSR, that it brings a benefit to society generally, and a benefit to business, because it's exact. Every business is in the business of making money. Gráinne Madden, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you, Alan.